our first speaker, who is also my sponsor, so this is a real privilege for me, Rebecca Hittership.
Hi, my name is Becky. I'm an addict.
Hey.
Oh, from desperation to joy. I'm so grateful to be up here. And I'm so joyful that all of you are here. And I work in the field. I work in the field of addiction, and we throw out a lot of statistics all the time. And when I think about all of the addicts that need to be here, we are so blessed, and it's true. And I know it is a gift. And I think I was thinking about the topic, and I was nervous, and I was thinking about I was sharing with my sponsor and my people. You know, they were like, just tell your story. And I was thinking about in my story how I always talk about the gift of desperation. God, G-O-D, the gift of desperation, and I was so desperate. And I think about a couple of like prominent points in my story when I asked God to help me, and He helped me. And He will help you too, because there's nothing different about me than you. Anybody can have this program if they want it. If you want what I have, do what I do, and I do what you all taught me how to do. It's in the basic text. It's very simple. Read Relapse and Recovery, and it will outline very clearly for you what you need to do. So I grew up in Carroll County in a nice suburban area. We had everything that we wanted and what we needed and we wanted. And I had two parents, a brother, and everything looked great on the outside. But on the inside, it was a different story. My father molested me when I was a little girl. And I always felt very different. I always felt like, and I was also molested in a library, in a public library. I was molested by this man. I have no idea who he is. So I always felt like I had this sign on my head that said, use me for sex. That's what it said. And that's how I lived my life, especially when I was in my addiction. And really, even before my addiction, I was out there. And I remember I did pretty good in high school. Got through high school. I was 17 years old. And I was going from Carroll County down to East Baltimore, North Avenue, little old me. I was 17. And trying to get one more. And I was sick and tired at 17 of trying to figure out the ways and the means to get one more. And when my mother found out that I was using heroin, I knew when she found out, and I remember that day very clearly, and I remember very clearly what the sky looked like, because I had a moment of desperation where I asked God to help me. And I remember my mom was on the phone, and I know she was about to really find out about the shit that was going down. And so I prayed to God to help me. And when my mom confronted me about the stuff that was going on, I told her that I needed help. And I got help. And I went to treatment. And I told her I need to go away somewhere. And so I did. I went away somewhere for 2 weeks, which I thought was a long time. Wasn't really a long time, because when I went to prison for 2 years, that was a little bit longer time. But I went to a treatment facility, and let me tell you about some joy right now. 18 years ago, 18 years ago, I went to my very first treatment facility, and today I work at that treatment facility as a family counselor. And so, man, I mean, I'm telling you, man, it's just pure joy when I get to give back and just try to offer some hope to the families. And I just have such a, you know, through working the 12 steps and working on my spirit, and restoring the relationships with my family and being able to practice a living amends to my family by helping other families. try to help their family member. It's joy. It's pure joy. Yeah. So I was very, it was a very desperate time, and God helped me, and I went to my first NA meeting, which it was so cool because the first NA meeting that I ever went to on last Wednesday, I celebrated 13 years, and I was in that meeting. And so I got out of treatment, and I went home, and I hooked up with a guy that I met in treatment, and we got high together, and, you know, it didn't seem like nothing because I wasn't down North Avenue. I was just riding around in the country smoking weed. And so I did go to meetings, and I did go to outpatient treatment, and I just kept coming back. And thank God, and I think about the meeting. I used to go to a little tiny meeting in Westminster, and I think about those people that were there that helped me then, and I'm very grateful for them because they told me keep coming back. And I remember this lady, I remember this mother, and she was in that meeting, and she loved me unconditionally. And people in here will love you unconditionally. I used to meet her son at the meeting, and then go get high with her son, and she kept telling me keep coming back. And so I ended up getting about 2.5 years clean, but I was clean and crazy. I was real crazy. I remember I had 3 months clean, and I came down. I was 18 years old, and I had 3 months clean. I came down here to the convention. And I met this guy. And it was fate. Because, let me tell you why it was fate. It was fate because we met, we saw each other from, you know, across the little area out there where we were smoking, and our eyes met, and we talked to each other. He said, "What's your birthday?" I said, "July 23rd. He said, "Mine is too." I was like, "All right, let's go." And that was it. I mean, that was it. It was like my recovery came to a halt. He became my higher power. He became my network. He became my home group. He was everything. And I was clean and crazy. I really was. But the sad thing was it left me at the same point of desperation. And I remember being so insecure and so lonely and so desperate that I remember laying in my bed begging God to just kill me clean. And I eventually ended up going back. I went back out, and it got worse quicker. And I had been in school. I went back to school to be a student teacher, and I was in my last year of student teaching, but I was a student teacher by day, but I was a prostitute by night. Crazy. And so one day when we had set up this caper and this, I had set up for these, my buddies, my friends, my homies, I set up for them to rob this guy. And what happened was, not only did they rob that guy, but they also robbed me. I was like, oh, shit. So I ended up getting arrested for being involved in that robbery because they had a pretty good guess that the prostitute had something to do with the guy that came into his house. So they pulled me out of the school. I decided to go to school that next day since my friends robbed me. I decided to go to school, so I was in the school student teaching, and they called me to the principal's office. So they called me to the principal's office, and they arrested me in handcuffs and took me out. And I remember this little girl in the class, and she was probably the smallest, quietest little girl in the class, and she saw me walking out of that elementary school in handcuffs. And all I can remember was thinking, how can I get one more? And so I was locked up for a little bit of time, and I got out. The judge was stupid. She let me out. Didn't she know I was going to go do the same thing? And I went out, and I did the same thing, and in 2.5 weeks, I was back. I was locked up again, and it was terrible. And I remember, I'm talking about this other gift of desperation. This was on April 12th of 2003. So the day before my first day clean. And I thought I was doing pretty good because I was not in a crack house in West Baltimore. I was in a crack house in Crofton. So I thought I had really, you know, moved up. And And I wasn't on a black strip, and I was working for an escort company, so I had an appointment. And the appointment, it was supposed to last about 30 minutes, and it turned into 3 days. And we were smoking crack, and we couldn't stop smoking crack, and I remember, and I always pray for this man. I always pray for this man. It's funny because now I live near Crofton, and I always think like, whoa, I wonder if I would ever remember that house I was in on that day. But more so, I just always pray for the guy that I was with, the guy that I last used with, and he was dying of cancer, and he had a colostomy bag, and he was smoking crack, and he wanted to die. And I wanted to die too, right along with him. We were on our way to COP, and we were crying. We were crying on our way to COP. And he said, I wanted to die. And I said, I wanted to die too. So the last day that I used, I didn't like to smoke crack by myself because sometimes I would go into seizures, so I never liked to be by myself. So I sat down to take my last hit of crack, and I told him, come on over here. Come on, sit by me with this last hit of crack, which doesn't really make much sense because it was the last hit of crack. Okay. So he came, and he took that last hit of crack, and I'm looking at this gun like, I'm going to shoot this man, I'm going to shoot him. So I go, I never wanted to kill anybody so bad in my life. And so little me, I'm like, I'm looking at this gun on the table. I'm like, I'm going to shoot this man. So I go in the kitchen. And he's convulsing on the floor because he went into a seizure. And I remember that moment very clearly. I remember another, it was a moment of clarity. Really, it was my true, true, true gift of desperation because I never used to get after that day. And I remember, again, I was not outside of it, but I looked up to the sky the same way that I looked at up at the sky when I was 17, and I asked God for help, and He helped me again. And so, when he came out of the seizure, I always say that, he tried to bite me to death because we were wrestling, and he was biting me, and I thought he was going to kill me. And so I ran out of his house at 7 a.m. in Crofton. No shoes on my feet, all beat up. And I ran into this other lady's house. And she let me in her house, and I was hiding in her house because I was on the run, and had been up for 3 days, and I thought this guy was trying to kill me. And she called the police. And so the police, they helped me, and they took me back to Baltimore County Detention Center. And when I called my family, and I let them know that I was okay. I was alive, and they were very glad, but they told me that my grandmother was in the hospital and she was dying. And so I think that was when I was being booked. And so and then I got to the Baltimore County Detention Center, and they put me in the suicide watch cell because I told them I wish that guy would have killed me. And when I got out of the suicide watch cell, I called my family back. And they said that your grandmother is dead. And that was 13 years ago today. And so today, the last thing I want to share, and I was very desperate. The judge had given me 8.5 years down DOC, and I did 2.5 years at that time. And then I went into long-term treatment. And then I went into a halfway house, walked back and forth to work. Went from, got a job that, I worked that job for 10 years, I just quit that job. I went back to school, I graduated with straight A's, I finished my bachelor's degree, I finished my master's degree. I'm married, my husband and I have bought a house, we bought a bigger house, I have 2 kids that never have to see me use. I have a sponsor and a home group. I have wonderful sponsees. I'm in service. And so in that desperate time when I was locked up, and I told my family that, the police, they'll bring me to my grandmother's funeral. They'll bring me. I'll just be in shackles and handcuffs, but they will bring me there. And they said, no, we don't want you there. And I was crushed. I was crushed. So what I want to share is the beauty of this program has allowed me to grow so much spiritually that today, the same father that molested me, I'm able to witness him, to have spend time with my children, and it brings me joy. And they don't have to know the same pain that I knew from him, because I believe that he is different, and God has forgiven him like he's forgiven me. And today, like I said, is the day that my grandmother, his mother, died 13 years ago. And I've come a long way in my relationship with my father, and I sent him a text this morning. And I told him, my grandmother, she used to have a condo here in Ocean City on the Bayside, and I was looking out at the water on the Bayside and the ocean before this meeting started, and I felt her spirit. And so I sent my dad a text this morning, and I told him that I was down here and that I was leading a workshop on desperation to joy. And he sent me a text back. And then I was thinking about my grandmother, and he sent me a text back, and he said that he thinks that he knows that my grandmother is so proud of me and the mother that I have become. My name is Becky. I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share.